This is Member Care Media, a ministry of TWR, with some thoughts to help you in your work and daily life. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
I don't think any of us would say we truly like pain or sickness. No. I don't think any of us can truly say we look forward to difficulties coming into our lives or into the lives of those in our family. No, again. In one form or another, though, we all have to face suffering. So that being the case, what do we know about what the Bible has to say about it? What do we know about the theology of suffering? Scott Shum of Barnabas International spoke to some Christian workers recently about this. So let's sneak into the back of the conference where he was speaking and listen in.
One of the things I want to talk about today is suffering, a theology of suffering. Suffering is a very, very complex topic. We don't have enough time to talk about all the different sides of suffering. So we're just going to talk about two sides of suffering while we're here together. We all experience difficulty, and it's very, very important for us to think well on the subject, because there's probably nothing more confusing than when we are walking with God and serving His people, and we experience much difficulties. But God is in the midst of those difficulties, and we want to look at it from some different biblical parameters. But one of the most important things to keep in mind about talking about suffering is that we talk about any one of these different angles in the middle here, in the middle of this subject of suffering, is much mystery. There are many things about suffering we will never understand. I do not understand why God had to die. God spoke the Mediterranean Sea, and He spoke the mountains. He just said the words, and there they were. He could have done the same for my redemption. He could have just said it, and it was done. Why did He have to become a man? Why did He have to suffer? Why did He have to die? It is God's wisdom. There's much about suffering I do not understand. There's much that we can understand from His Word, but there's also much that we don't understand. So we must keep that in mind. Many of our questions will not be answered. But the Father is seeking sons and daughters who are like Him, and one of the ways that He does this is through adversity. It's through difficulties. What we're going to see from a couple of passages that we're going to look at today is that in order to grow into mature character, we must suffer. God has designed the redemptive process to include suffering. All we have to do is look at the cross. My salvation, my redemption, required the suffering of the Son of God. My sanctification, my ongoing process in being developed into the image of Christ, requires that to some degree I go through difficulties. That's not all I need. I need truth. I need the Holy Spirit. I need you. I need time. It takes much time to grow into the image of Christ. But one of the things that God has designed the redemptive process is to include suffering. Now, I'm from America. I've never experienced persecution. I've lived overseas. My wife and I lived in Hong Kong for a number of years. We were church planters there. We learned Cantonese. People responded to us very indifferently, but we never were persecuted. Our difficulties have come from different ways. A number of years ago, I was in Southeast Asia, and I was working with a group of leaders, and I contracted dengue fever. It was likely the second time I had had this tropical fever, and it became quite severe. It turned into hemorrhagic fever. I was in the hospital for 7 days, and it was quite serious. If you talk to Beth, she'll tell you that it almost killed me. It took me 14 months to recover from dengue, from this fever. For many months, I was too tired to be able to do any work at all. I was tremendously fatigued. It was a very frustrating time. But I knew I'd recover, and I did. I got back into full-time work, was very active and busy again. And then Beth and I were in Cambodia, and I was again speaking at a conference. And so we were with 21 different nationalities there. And while we were there, I got sick again. I contracted likely a virus, and I ended up in the hospital again. But this virus began to do some tremendous damage in my body. So it has damaged part of my nervous system. I have numbness and tingling in different parts of my body. I have an irregular heart rate. I deal with a tremendous amount of fatigue. 2.5 years now, I still have this damage in my body, and I still become quite tired at times. But during the first year of this illness, I was seeing very many specialists. I was seeing neurologists for my nervous system and cardiologists for my heart and infectious disease doctors trying to figure out what it was. Never got any answers. Went to some of the best facilities in the United States. No answers. The theory was that I had a virus, it got into my nervous system, it did some damage, and now I likely have some type of chronic fatigue. But in the middle of this, God took me into a very, very dark time. Because I had no diagnosis, I had no cure. The doctors could not tell me what would happen, if I would get better or if I would get worse. And so when I was at my worst, when I was feeling very, very tired, there was many nights where I would tell Beth, I don't know if I will see you in the morning. I was so tired. It felt like my life was just flowing away from me. And so I was very afraid. And God did not feel like he was anywhere near me. Day after day after day, I would pray and I would ask him, where did he go? Why did you leave me? I went to serve your people and I got this illness. Why? What were you doing? Where were you? Why will you not heal me? Why can I not find a doctor who can tell me what's wrong with me? And so for month after month after month, I was in this darkness. What I can tell you now that I could not tell you then, that was in that darkness, was God. And he was shaping and doing things in my heart and in my soul that he could do no other place. Suffering is an important part of being changed into the image of Christ. Join with me in Romans chapter 5. The book of Romans chapter 5. We want to look at a very well-known passage. I was at a conference in December of 2001. It was a gathering of men and women who travel around the world providing pastoral care and training to leaders around the world. And this was right after September 11th in the United States. And of course, that caused a tremendous challenge to my country. We haven't seen that type of thing in my country before. So we were very afraid. But one of the things that we realize is that we do not think about suffering well in America. We do not have a good theology of suffering. And so I decided that I wanted to study the Bible very closely in this subject. And I spent a year reading through the Bible and studying as many passages as I could find on this topic of suffering. And it helped me to develop a biblical theology of suffering. And I teach on this a great deal in America, especially with men and women who are going to leave the United States and go and serve in other countries because they are not prepared for what they're about to experience. We do not understand the difficulties that are normative for other people around the world. So we have to prepare our people, help them to think well on suffering. I want to look at Romans chapter 5, and let's start with verse 1. Paul says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And Paul says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He says, because we have peace with God, we anticipate heaven, we anticipate glory, and we cannot wait to go to heaven. And so he says, we rejoice, we glory in that. But then he continues on in verse 3, and he says, not only do we rejoice in anticipation of glory, verse 3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Paul says we rejoice in our thought of heaven, but we don't just rejoice in a thought of heaven, we also rejoice in our suffering. This is very peculiar to me. He equates rejoicing with heaven, rejoicing with suffering as the same. And the reason is because he knows something about this suffering that is very important for us to understand. You see, our maturity, our being shaped into the character of Christ requires suffering. And Paul wants nothing more than to be like Christ. He wants to be more and more like Christ. And if he says that if suffering is one of the ways I become like Christ, then I happily receive suffering. I rejoice in it because I don't want to be happy. I don't want to be comfortable. Yes, I do, but that's not the most important thing to me. The most important thing to me is not that I'm comfortable and safe. The most important thing to me is that I am like Christ. What we will learn from this passage is God's greatest concern is not that we're comfortable. His greatest concern, his greatest desire is that we look just like his son. He wants sons and daughters that look just like Christ, who love just like Christ, who walk the Jesus way, and one of the ways he does it is through difficulties. So let's look at this verse here. First of all, he says we rejoice in our suffering. Now, it's important for us to understand suffering. I find that from where I come from, we do not understand this word. Most oftentimes we think about suffering as only being persecution. But there are many Greek words in the New Testament that are translated into the English word for suffering, difficulties, trials, temptation, hardships, adversities, many different Greek words. One of the most prominent Greek words, which is used by every author in the New Testament except for Jude, is a fascinating word. Every author uses it. Jesus used this word. And this word has a very generic meaning to it. It's kind of like an umbrella term. And underneath it is inclusive of any difficulty that is normal to a human being. So it might mean illness, or relational conflict, or financial difficulties, or persecution, or any type of hardship that we can have. All of the authors use generic words. Sometimes they do specifically talk about persecution, but usually they're talking about any type of normal human experience. Suffering is normal to a human being. All human beings suffer. All human beings have difficulties. The most important thing I want us to see in this passage is that Paul is talking about a very generic concept of suffering, a very inclusive word. He's not just talking about persecution. If you have had a difficulty emotionally or relationally, spiritually, physically, you have had suffering. Many of us are dealing with tremendous stress in our lives today, in our families, in our ministries, with our health, in our marriages, on our teams and organizations. Those are difficulties. This is exactly what Paul is talking about. God is very creative in the difficulties he allows us to experience. So what Paul says is we rejoice in these sufferings because we know that something's going to happen. In the English here, it says we rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Paul and James and Jesus and Peter, all the New Testament authors, they did not like pain. They did not like pain. They did not like the hardships. Paul says we rejoice in suffering, not because we like to suffer, but because we know that God is doing something with the suffering. All the authors do it. If we were to look at James chapter 1, James says almost exactly the same thing. He says we rejoice that we experience various kinds of trials because we know that difficulty produces patience. But let patience have a perfect way because it makes us entire and perfect and lacking nothing. All the authors use this concept. They have become aware that God is doing something through our difficulty, and that's what helps them to rejoice. And so what Paul says is that we know that we can rejoice because we know that God's doing something, and what he's doing is producing perseverance in us. One of the most important character traits that he wants to produce in each one of his sons and daughters is the ability to endure well. The Father is seeking sons and daughters who persevere well. How well do you endure? God's redemptive process requires we go through difficulty of many times our entire life.
All right, there we have something to think about on the subject of suffering. That was Scott Shum of Barnabas International.
This has been a presentation of Member Care Media. We invite you to explore our website, where we offer audio features and resources for you and your entire family. We also have links to other websites that can provide further answers and resources to meet your needs. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.